Oh, there we go. I'm on. Yeah, we're not doing notices. We're just going to be straight on to me because wasn't that a great time of encountering Jesus? I'm normally in the evening. That's why you may not have met me. But it's so great to be in the morning with all of you. Yeah, that was really special. So, yes, I am Ben. My name's Ben, same as Ben. Lots of Bens today. If we haven't met before, I live in Beeston. I work in a school there, a secondary school there, as a TA. And I've been at Grace Church for like 9 years now, which seems crazy, but it's fun to be here. And you may have noticed that I'm like kind of made it onto the graphic for our work, rest and play. Can you spot me? I recreated it, just in case you weren't sure, but yeah, no, I'm definitely there. But if you look at the graphic, it seems like when I'm reading here, I'm the one who's resting. And Jeremy looked at rest last week. So just to make sure that you know that I'm the one who's talking about play, I also recreated the girl playing. Here I am, doing my best impression. That's outside my house. What a great time. So yes, that was fun. So yes, we are in our final part of our work, rest and play series. Austin looked at work a couple of weeks ago. Jeremy served us with rest last week. And now I get to look at play, which is a real fun one. I'm looking forward to this. So yes. But like, what even is play? It's a question that I've been asking my friends as I've been doing this. Like, what is play? How would you define it? It feels like the most obvious thing in the world. Our kids love to play, don't they? We don't have to teach them to play. They just go and do it. And most of the time we're like, just give me a little peace and quiet, right? Just like, just stop 1 second and stop playing and having a great time just so I can have like, just a breather. But if you were going to try and give me a definition, what do you think it would be? I had a look around and a guy called Eric Tunes gives a definition which I think is the most thorough that I've found. He goes for, play is an activity which is fun, imaginative, non-compulsory, non-utilitarian, and creative, that brings perspective, diversion, and rest. That's a long one. It's like the most boring definition of play you could ever find. I mean, it's great, but like, don't get me wrong, but that's long. No one's going to remember that. So instead, I've shortened our definition of play to this. Play is doing something for the sheer joy and fun of it. Play is doing something for the sheer joy and fun of it. Nothing more, nothing less. Now, as Eric said, there are lots of aspects of play, but one thing play isn't is productive. Now, here's what I mean. You go to a restaurant, you don't just go to eat food to fuel up for what's next, to be productive for what's next, do you? That's not the point. The point is to savour the delicious food and to enjoy your fun with friends. I recently rediscovered Nando's, the like Portuguese chicken place. It's so sentimental to me because it feels like I'm a teenager again. It's like where you go with like your mates when you're like 13, you like pay with your own money. And they now do, honestly, I went last week, they now do like a barbecue garlic flavour. Honestly, guys, give it a go. I mean, other chicken restaurants are available. But the garlic barbecue is great. Or when you go and watch a sporting event, you don't just go for the final result. I mean, you could probably find that out later. But you go to enjoy the tension, the drama, and the atmosphere of being in the stands, being a fan. Or when you go and watch a film at the cinema, you don't just go for the ending again. Because, I mean, you could read it on Wikipedia before you went, like if you really wanted to. That would be boring. But you could if you desperately wanted to. But no, you go for the cinematic experience. You go for the character development and the twists and turns. Now, I haven't seen it, but apparently in the Barbie movie, there was a pregnant Barbie. Who saw that coming? And pregnant Barbie has a husband called Alan. I didn't know any of this. And yet, apparently, it turns up in the film. Sorry if that's a spoiler for you, but I don't think it's part of this plot or anything. So play is not productive, but play is purposeful. God created play, and God is a God of purpose. Play is amusement, play is merriment, play is celebration. Play is laughing, delighting, and dancing. And the purpose of play is joy. The purpose of play is joy, because joy reflects and glorifies God. And yet, when we look at the Bible, the word play generally has like negative connotations. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul thinks back to the Israelites in Exodus and they're worshipping the golden calf. And he says, "Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." And if it wasn't like quite clear at this point what Paul's insinuating, in Deuteronomy, another book written by Moses, Israel is described as playing the whore. And in the book of Hosea, that's the same description as well. So let me ask you, who of you doesn't love to have fun and yet maybe aren't sure that you should? Play isn't productive. The Bible sometimes gives the word play a bad rep. And so I guess it would be easy to decide to like completely throw play out the window. And you'd kind of end up like Oliver Cromwell and cancel Christmas. But no, God created play and he created fun, and you should do that. God wants us to play because God has created play. The text I want us to dig into today is found in the lesser-known book of Zechariah. It's in chapter 8, verse 5. So if you have a Bible, please turn there if you have one. Otherwise, it will be on the screen behind me. It's only a short text, but let's allow ourselves to see and engage with the Lord through it. So a little bit of context for you. The people have been in exile in Babylon. These are the people of Judah. But they've now come back. They've come back to Jerusalem. They come back home, but they're struggling. It's not going that well. There are some difficulties. And this is in the middle of one of Zechariah's prophecies. And what it's doing is trying to encourage the people. The Lord is laying out what Jerusalem will look like. We're in chapter 8. We're in verse 5. And he says, "The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing." So not only will the streets of Jerusalem be safe for their children, but they will be able to do what children do best, what they were made to do, and that is play. Jesus said that we must become like children to enter the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of God belongs to them. Therefore, we can learn much from children and how they play, even if you're like me, you don't even have kids. Children play for the sheer joy and fun of it. It's not productive, which means they don't gain anything from it. And so we must also become like children, because we as adults love to work, to earn it and earn our way to heaven, but it's only by the cross of Christ that we can be saved. Therefore, we get to play just like children do, enjoying the safety and assurance of his kingdom. So God encourages us to embrace play, and one way he does that is through creation. Right from the beginning of time, God was playing, if you like, through creating. Just like a painter with a blank canvas, he put the sun, moon, and stars in the heavens. He created the earth, the plants, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, the creatures walk over the earth. And then God created man in his own image. Everything a piece of art, good, intricate, and beautiful. In Psalm 104, which is this amazing song of praise to our Creator God, in verse 26 it says, "Leviathan, which you made to play in the sea." Now you may not have heard of Leviathan, but it's basically just one of God's creatures. And the point of this verse, I think, is that Leviathan gets to play. This verse could even mean that Leviathan and the Lord get to play together in the sea, in creation, enjoying each other. And God brought order out of chaos, and it was excellent. In creation, we see God's imagination run wild, and it is incredible as we look at sunsets and enjoy the scenery, enjoy each other. And just as we enjoy his imaginative parameters in creation, so he has given us imagination to form our own parameters in the creation of games and sport. In England, we're obsessed by football. See where this is going. From kids playing in the streets, to watching Forest at the City Ground, to watching the Lionesses win the World Cup. Yes, we believe it. Just as an aside, as it's summer and this is like a fun message, we're going to do something a little bit different after the meeting. We're going to have time to chat and get hot drinks and biscuits and whatever, and then we're going to put the second half of the game on. So if you want to and can stick around, please stick around. We'd love to see it come home. Essentially, playing football or like games is just a group of people adhering to an imaginary set of rules, right? It's imaginary, but it's a lot of fun. Zechariah doesn't say that a child will play in the streets, but that the boys and girls will play in the streets. We're to play together, to have fun with friends, and to laugh with each other. The Lord created us for relationship with each other, and most importantly, for relationship with him. Jesus came down to enjoy his own creation, which means he came down to enjoy our company. He came to eat brunch on the beach, dance at our weddings, and play with our children. Talking of playing together, if you were going to ask me one place where I find most joy, it would be playing jazz in a band. My musical journey started with my mum taking me as a baby, 6 months old, to like a baby music group where I guess we hit drums because there wasn't much else we could like add to the musical world at that point. When I was 7, what got me into jazz was listening to the soundtrack to the 1997 Disney film, The Jungle Book. Honestly, incredible. I must have only watched the film like 3 times, but the soundtrack like 100 times when I was 7. Incredible. Give it a watch. At the age of 11, I actually got to play some jazz. Now, one of the fundamentals of jazz and what I think sets it apart is that we get to what we call improv, like improvise, where you get to go off script, get to make up a bit. It's not perfect, far from perfect in my case, but you have a lot of fun. And you get to play what you want and create it there in the moment. And another fun thing we're going to do after the service is Martin's going to play some jazz for us. Thanks, mate. Isn't it great? Yeah, get woo for that. In the Psalms, which is the Bible's songbook, it talks about the joy of playing musical instruments like 30 times, and that's just in the Psalms. So the Lord is encouraging us to worship him and play music for his glory. And if you can play an instrument, then he encourages us to play for him. And if you can't, then he encourages all of us to come together as we did just now and raise our voices in worship. For surely that's one of the best responses we can have to God, because he is worthy and he is righteous. He has saved us from our sin into fullness of life. And so what can we do but praise him? And Paul brought this in worship, but in our play, we're joining in with the song of heaven that says, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." But these joys of play, maybe they can feel very distant from the play that we see in the world around us. And it was the same for the people before their exile into Babylon. They had been warned, but they had not changed their ways. They were still sinning. They were not playing well. And their sin against the Lord meant that they had been displaced from Jerusalem, their home. And it was the same when they had to live in exile under the rule of the idolatrous and abusive Babylonians. And so it's the same now. Doesn't it feel like in the broken world out there, it's full of broken play? Sport is full of gambling. Going out dancing means getting drunk as possible, and playing around still means promiscuity. I think the problem play has is that these activities that we do for the sheer joy and fun of it, when put in our secular culture, they can very quickly become corrupted and no longer reflect and glorify God. Corrupted and ungodly play is damaging. And play becomes corrupted and damaging because we start making play about ourselves for our personal gain and our personal pleasure. We start to turn in on ourselves, which is exactly what sin is. Sin has corrupted our play. So in our society, watching sport becomes about making money at the bookmakers. Going out dancing becomes about how drunk we can get rather than having fun with our friends. And sex becomes about personal pleasure, regardless of partner. So our family and friends suffer and we become obsessed with ourselves. We idolize ourselves. The purpose of play is joy and to glorify God. But when play becomes corrupt, we glorify ourselves, which means we have replaced God with self-pleasure on the altar of our worship. An extreme version of this is hedonism, which is where someone believes that this life is all there is and that death is the end, so that the only way that they can live life is to play so completely that they try and escape death by ignoring it. But in fact, a child can play well because they do not comprehend death. So when we play as adults, we regain that childlike incomprehension, not because we're trying to escape the fear and inevitability of death, but because we know the one who has conquered death. The problem is, maybe the opposite is true for us as well. Maybe we don't play enough. We're constantly doing and thinking about work or serving our families every hour of the day, tidying, cleaning, running around after the kids. And as we heard 2 weeks ago, Austin showed us that diligence and commitment to our jobs and our families is a good thing. But if work or your family is your purpose, then it is a rival which has replaced God on the altar of your worship. I have a couple of uni mates that work for a company called Deloitte, which is like a financial company, I think. I don't really know what they do. And I'm sure it's the same for other employees at other similar companies, but basically, they're not given that much time to play. Sometimes I'll ring them up and I'll be like, oh, hey, how's it going? And they're like, yeah, great, doing this, doing that. And then we went out for drinks last night. I was like, oh, great, that sounds fun. And then you dig a little bit deeper and it turns out that their drinks was actually a networking event, that they went out with their colleagues to meet other people who work in other companies and their colleagues, and they chatted about work. And they chatted about, you know, their companies and networked and stuff like that. And that doesn't sound like play to me. It's, you know, that's still work. It may be with a beer in your hand, but it's still work. They're not given much time to play. But learning to turn off our work laptops and to make time to play with our families, we can stop trying to be productive and making about how much we can achieve. It means we can play for the sheer joy and fun of it, believing that we are children who can play with their Father. And we can do this because Jesus has redeemed us. And through him, we know our Father. He heals our hearts and makes sure that he is the only one who we truly worship. And he is the one who helps us play well, where the purpose is joy and it reflects God. So through the cross and resurrection, Jesus has redeemed our play. Hallelujah. And now we and our play have been redeemed. How can we play well? Well, we can play well by playing together. Zechariah says that the streets will be full of children, boys and girls playing together. Children playing together is what the Lord wants and is what is best for them. And as children of God, we as adults should play together too. We were built as social people, so enjoying one another and belonging to our friends helps us to thrive. Now, before I go any further, I do need to chat to our introvert friends in the room. If you're an introvert, please don't hear what I'm not saying. You are allowed to play on your own, absolutely. I'm an extrovert. But I'm also an only child, which meant that the majority of my childhood was spent playing outside, kicking a football or throwing a basketball against the back wall at home on my own. And I had a great time. That was a lot of fun when I was like six. It was great. And I mean, it's still the same now, apart from now I read a book or listen to music. I guess I'm a bit more adult now. And whatever you enjoy doing on your own, however you enjoy playing, please do it. Please enjoy it. But we can't be alone all of the time. We're relational beings, and we're meant to spend time with others, and that includes in our play. There's been a lot of chat over the last few years about how our children have been impacted by the COVID lockdowns. Younger kids didn't get to play together. They didn't get to learn how to share or communicate or learn about their emotions. And our older kids, now use the phrase social anxiety on a regular basis. Honestly, I work in a secondary school. Happens all the time because they're struggling. And this is what our kids have missed out on. This is how they have been negatively impacted because they haven't been able to play with their friends. And I guess to differing extents, we too have been impacted in our similar ways. Not having the freedom to play together has meant that our relationships have taken a hit. Before the pandemic, maybe we took play for granted, but being able to play well together means we can now reclaim all of the benefits we had lost. Jesus has redeemed our play, which means that he loves to rebuild all that has been broken. Playing together means we can enjoy deep friendships. We can work well together in teams to achieve purpose. We can navigate conflict. We can build confidence to overcome difficulties. We can develop in leadership, emotional intelligence, and resilience, encourage and support and respect others. Doesn't that sound like the kingdom of God? The joy that we get to live in together under the reigning of our glorious King. We can also play well by allowing play to express freedom in the face of suffering. Just as the people Zechariah was speaking to were struggling on their return to Jerusalem after they had been saved out of Babylon, we also are struggling and suffering, even though we have been saved from sin by Jesus. Because he is yet to come again and fully redeem the world. And sometimes it can feel like the world is like a too serious place for us to play in. Like it's just too broken. Jesus may have come, but cancer and poverty and wars and murder and sexual assault are all still horrors we see on the news on a daily basis. And it's not going anywhere soon, right? But Jesus' death and resurrection certainly didn't count for nothing. We don't need to wait for the new creation before we can play. Jesus' redemption through the cross and the freedom that it won for us means that we can play to express freedom in the face of suffering. Playing in the face of suffering means we can say to suffering, "You're wreaking havoc in my life. It's affecting my life and the life of my friends. And sometimes the pain is excruciating." But suffering is not the final word. He has made a way. Jesus' death means that your fate is sealed. And even though you're still here, Jesus shows me mercy every morning. He's working it all for my good, even though I may not see it. He is my healer, he is my rock, and he is my deliverer. Yes, the world is a serious place of suffering, but playing shows the victory that Jesus has won over suffering. And this victory means that we can have hope. Our play is hopeful and points towards a world where troubles are no more. It reminds us that even though we are burdened with sin and brokenness, rest is on the way. Fun is on the way. I talked about my love of jazz earlier. But jazz was created as an expression of freedom whilst being a rebellion against suffering and slavery. The slave songs that were sung on the plantations in the South, they were put to music and the music was called the blues. And the blues was the forefather of jazz. And yet its playfulness was so potent that even in the 1920s and 30s, playing jazz was still illegal in some states, because of its association with black musicians and what it stood for, because it stood for freedom in the face of oppression. And that freedom would prevail in the end. And this freedom that we now have in Jesus has been gained only through the grace of God, which means our play doesn't need to be restricted, but it can be exuberant. Play is an activity for the sheer joy and fun of it, which means true play is completely unrestrained, because of the completeness and sufficiency of the grace of God that has been lavished upon us. So we can play in the face of suffering, and while we do, our hearts break for the brokenness of the world, but they also rejoice in the coming redemption. As I come into land, have you ever thought about how the word recreation and recreation are the same? They're the same word. The Lord has a sense of humour, doesn't he? He loves some wordplay, Thanks, mate. And Zechariah's prophecy was looking forward to what Jesus would bring, but it also looks forward to what Jesus will bring when he comes again. Boys and girls will play in the New Jerusalem in heaven. I wonder, have you ever been like so engaged and involved in a playful activity that you like start to lose a sense of time? Maybe you and your friends are involved in like a really tense board game where every turn counts and the stakes are high. Or maybe playing sport, you're like in the zone. I think that's what they call it, like in the zone, where maybe you're playing tennis and you're like can't miss. Like you're seeing it like a football. Maybe you felt like that. For me, it's when I'm reading like a really gripping story. I'm getting lost in a book. And maybe I've gone to a cafe and I said I could be an hour. And my friends are like, where's Ben gone? We've lost him. And it turns out that I'm still there like 3 hours later because I'm just like engrossed in it. We lose our sense of time because we're so consumed by our play and the fun that we're having that like time collapses. Time collapses into timelessness. Another word for timelessness, eternity. Eternity is what we gain when we're lost in play. And so our play in eternity, in the recreation, will be just like that. One of the main ways the Bible talks about the recreation and Jesus is coming again is of a wedding. Jesus will come again to be joined with his spotless bride, us as the church. And after the wedding comes the wedding banquet, and we are all invited. Celebrating a wedding with your friends and eating good food, it doesn't get much better than that, except at this heavenly wedding banquet, when we with our friends, our family, and our bridegroom, who is Jesus, get to eat the best food ever made, get to celebrate Jesus' victory that he has won for us. It will be the greatest fun we have ever had, and it will be the most joy we have ever felt. Have the band up. So Jesus has created us to play, and we get to, and the purpose of play is joy in reflecting our God. And we get to, what's going on? Having some fun with me. I get to make jokes, what a nice time. And that although sin has corrupted our play in the world that we see out there, Jesus has redeemed our play. We get to play together with our friends. We get to play in the face of suffering in what Jesus has won for us. And we get to look forward to in hope and assurance for what we have coming, which is Jesus. So I pray, Lord Jesus, now that we would know the purpose of play. We would be able to live in the freedom that you have won for us, and that our play would be exuberant and unrestrained, that we would be able to declare your glory. We'd be able to show through our play the freedom that you have won for us. Show to others the freedom and joy that we have, the peace that is beyond understanding, and that we would glorify you, Lord God. We would glorify you through our work and through our rest and through our play. Amen.